been involved in this week. And I just want to outline again what Justin Welby said. For what are we actually praying? What was his vision? What is it that he wants to see come in our nation of Great Britain? And he said, pray for a renewal in our expectancy, in the abundancy and overflowing of Christ in our lives together, so that people right across the country see who Jesus is and are drawn to faith in him. And he outlined three things: that all Christians find new life in their relationship with Jesus Christ, the joy that Christ brings us, the comfort in sorrow, the abundance of joy at good times should be renewed in every Christian in their own personal faith and discipleship. And then secondly, out of that, that all those we meet and are close to, family, friends, colleagues, and casual acquaintances, that they might see something of Jesus that draws them towards faith in him, towards learning what his love is for themselves, so that their own lives are transformed. And thirdly, that we pray for the church, that it is so full of the life and joy of Christ that it overflows with the reality and presence of Jesus together, and wherever it reaches out, that overflowing is seen in service, love, and compassion, working with the poor, serving each person we come across wherever we are in every community. We pray for the reign and rule of Christ in every heart, in every community, that they may find the joy of Jesus Christ. We pray, your kingdom come. So I thought, what does God's kingdom actually look like? And if you've been working through the little booklet that had the readings every day, you will see that the readings chosen showed how Jesus demonstrated the kingdom of God. There was water turned into wine. There was a royal official's son healed from a distance at the request of his father. A man who had been invalided for 38 years asked by Jesus if he wanted to be well. Then he was healed and told to stop sinning. 5,000 men, let alone women and children, were fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus walked on water. A man blind from birth was totally healed. Lazarus, his friend, was raised from the dead, and we can read of many more, all to glorify God the Father and to bring in his kingdom, a supernatural kingdom, a kingdom of healing, wholeness, provision, abundance, release from every bondage, righteousness, restoration, hope, peace and joy. Who of any one of us and everyone we know would not want to live in such a kingdom? In the Bible, we're told many times that the kingdom is good news. In Luke 17:21, that the kingdom of God is within you. In Romans 14:17, that it is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean that we won't be eating and drinking. It's trying to get the emphasis of satisfying ourselves and having a nice life from our own viewpoint, which isn't necessarily the nicest life we could have. It's just what we think we want. And putting our focus on primarily about what God wants, and then when that becomes manifest, it changes the negativity of the world around us. The kingdom of God, 1 Corinthians 4:20, is not a matter of talk, but of power. And everything that Jesus did came out of his relationship with God in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 36, my kingdom is from another place. My kingdom is not of this world. And yet he was bringing in his kingdom into our world, where we are now. And when he left, Jesus told his disciples that they would be his witnesses, that they would do all the things he had been doing and continue the work of bringing in his kingdom. And so also with those who were afar off and who would believe in him because of their message, which is us. But before this happened, they were told to wait. Jesus left them. They watched him going off up into the sky. And then they were told to wait. And they waited. And they waited. And they waited together. And they prayed. And they waited. Because that was his instruction. And in a few days, he said they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They'd already received the Holy Spirit. We read that Jesus blew on them by his Spirit and said, "Receive my Spirit," when he was with them. But now he wasn't going to be with them anymore. They wouldn't have him around, that dynamic that was with them anymore. He knew that they needed more. And in this passage, this great long passage, we see the result. We see Peter, an unschooled man, standing up and speaking eloquently all those things in front of all those people with the power that was now come upon him. We see men praying in strange tongues, something that we don't need to be afraid of. Wonderful prayer language builds us up, something that we should all desire. We see 3,000 people just in that one day coming to believe in Jesus. Now we might think to ourselves, well, actually I don't particularly want or need power like that. It's a bit scary. I'm not going to be in that place. I've got my own life that I lead and I don't really need anything extra. But Jesus could not do his ministry in his own strength, and neither can we. On our Wednesday morning Ladies Network group, we've been looking at the DVD series, The Front Line. And it's about people like you and I who have their ordinary lives. We've only seen two so far. We've seen a lady who is a mum, and she does all the things that, if you've ever been a mum, you will do. You take the children to school, you take them on their runs for their clubs and all the other things that you do. You become a taxi driver for a little while. She goes to work, she does a part-time job, she works in a school as a learning support assistant, and she mixes with people there. She goes to the supermarket, she buys the food and she brings the shopping home. We can all identify with this. And she goes to her exercise class and you see her leaping about, and then she goes home again and she feeds the children, and then you see her sitting with the cat in the evening watching the television. And they say that is her front line. That is where her mission field is. That is where she can share Jesus and bring in his kingdom. And so we see one day where she's sitting with somebody else in her school at coffee time, and she offers to pray for them. And there's a lovely scenario out of that. The other one, we've only seen one other one, which is a young man. And his front line is in a job that he doesn't want. He's taken his degree, but he can't get a job. It's a very familiar story for all our young people. And so he's working in a place where he's stacking shelves, and he keeps saying, "It's not the job I want. I don't want to be here. I don't like it. I don't want to be here." And yet he's a Christian, and God sort of put it on his heart to change his attitude a little bit. So he started to get there a bit earlier and started talking to people. As a result, he started mixing a little bit more with what the other people there were doing. And God changed his heart. And in the end, they started asking him questions. They found out he was a Christian. He started to share the things he did. They were interested. They've started to go to things that he does as well. And God's kingdom is coming into that place. And what I thought was lovely about that story is his attitude towards his job hasn't changed at all. He still doesn't like it, but he's now found God's purpose for him in that place. And other lives are being changed because he's there. We've only seen those two so far, but I'm sure we can all think where our front line is, where we are every day, in our homes, our families, our workplaces, our neighbours, where we go shopping, where we might go to an exercise class, clubs, anything like that is our front line. We bear God's name, we carry the presence of Jesus. As we do so, we bring in God's kingdom. Our lives are intended to make a difference, intended to change the spiritual atmosphere. Jesus told us to ask and we would receive. And how much more would the Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? We need help. Now, this morning, what I would like to do is for us to have a time of spending, soaking in the Father's love, and just being able to approach Jesus ourselves and ask him for whatever we want him to do for us today. I spent a little bit of time at the Christian Healing Mission, and I've been part of the things that they do, and they're wonderful things for healing, for wholeness, for quiet ministry, where people feel safe and they're able to receive. Now, what I'm going to do is lead us in a Jesus encounter, and if you were here before, you'll be familiar with what I did. And what will happen is that I will be leading us, and we will be receiving, we will be talking with Jesus ourselves, hearing from him, receiving whatever it is. Now, the prayer ministry team will also, during that time, when I finish speaking, the prayer ministry team will come round and lay a hand lightly on your shoulder and anoint you with oil, just across on your forehead. Now, just to remind you, the oil of anointing isn't in the oil itself, but it signifies healing, strengthening, and the presence, power, and grace of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't want anyone to feel that they've got to be part of this, because it's awful if you feel uncomfortable. So if you would like to receive, step back here, when the people come round, just keep your hands held out like this. If you wouldn't, but you want quietly to have your own time with Jesus and you don't want to be disturbed, then keep your hands together and then we won't disturb you. When you've finished being ministered to, then keep your hands together, otherwise you'll get a second dose and it will be a little bit confusing. The other thing I need, just a bit more organisation here, is that I could do with you spacing yourselves out a little bit. There are some spare chairs. It's just if you're very close, we could do with a chair in between you. It's hard for people to get in between. So if you've got a chair in between, that is more helpful. Or if you need to move to another place, that is also very much more helpful. So if we could just do that now, I need the prayer ministers to come and get some oil, please. I'm going to do the Jesus encounter first. You can sit down for this. I'm going to do the encounter first. I'm going to pray first. That's lovely, thank you. So let's just still ourselves in the presence of our loving Heavenly Father. Lord God, Jesus told us we can call you Father. And when we pray, he told us to begin with our Father. Father, in your hands, you hold all of your creation. You are concerned about every part of your creation. Father, you hold me. You are the Father who sees. You have seen me. You have seen me in all of my life. You have seen through every event that has happened. No part of my life is hidden from you, Father, and you love me. You are holding me in your hands. No matter how I feel, your truth is that you love me as though I was the only person you ever created. I rest in your hands, Father. I catch your delight in me. Father, I worship you. I say yes, yes to your love, yes to your delight. My worship is to rest in your presence, because that is your delight. Psalm 139 says, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And thank you, Father, that through all the events of my life, you look at me with eyes of love and you see me as perfect. No matter what has happened, I trust in your love for me. So we pray, come Holy Spirit, and we ask for an increased awareness of your presence within us. We thank you for allowing our bodies to be living temples of the Spirit's presence. Take a moment to seek to still our hearts to hear that voice of the Spirit. Lord Jesus, come. Come as the Father's gift to us. Come as the Father's gift, who forgives and restores and makes new. Lord Jesus, you said that if we open the door to you, you will come in, and your pleasure is to eat with us and us with you. And so we pray, come, Lord Jesus, now. Just take a moment to find where Jesus is for you right now. He's promised to be here with us. He's here. There are no right or wrong answers, but where is he for you? Catch a sense of his presence. Maybe he's in front of you, or around you, or within you. But just rest a while and catch a sense of where he is for you. The one who sees everything is with you right now. What is it you would like Jesus to do for you today? What is it you would say to the one who sees everything and yet the one who delights in you? What would you like to say to him right now? And as you speak to him, what would Jesus say back to you? What's that thought that comes to you? Or a picture? Or a glimpse? Don't dismiss it. Let the one who loves you have fellowship with you. Let him speak to you. Now continue to rest in the presence of Jesus and allow him to minister to you.